A lot of us feel overwhelmed from time to time. We're juggling work, family, and friends. We get emails at all hours of the day and have gadgets that are extensions of ourselves. Sometimes it's enough for us to seek some sort of escape to recharge ourselves.
Hiking through the woods, walking along a beach, camping out under the stars. Those are familiar images when you think of getting away and recharging your batteries. But some new research suggests that those restorative benefits might be overstated. According to our next guest, if life has you overwhelmed, turning to nature isn't a one-size-fits-all solution to rejuvenate yourself. In fact, if you're a more neurotic person, nature might be the last place you'd like to be.
Joining us now is Kevin Newman. He's an assistant professor focusing on consumer behavior at Providence College School of Business. He recently co-authored research on how different personalities find different kinds of environments, urban, rural, you name it, restorative. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, this the thing we keep hearing is we got to get out in nature. It's good for our mental health. We have nature deficit. Is that true at least for some people? Some people do benefit from just getting out in a quiet, natural setting.
That's true. So we looked at kind of this idea of environmental compatibility. And there are certainly groups of people who would be beneficial for that. And I think we have kind of an inherent cultural bias to focus on the natural environment. And there's the idea of biophilia, which means we kind of have this human preference for potentially between humans and other living systems, including nature. So we see it in writing, Henry David Thoreau, you know, talking about Walden, you know, where you should go on vacation. People might typically say a beach. So I think it's pretty inherent in our culture that nature is kind of king.
So what made you want to question that assumption about people really connecting on some sort of elemental level with nature?
Well, my co-author and I, so Mary Brooks, we both like nature, but it kind of turns out we like different kinds of nature. So where she, I think, prefers the kind of calming, relaxing walk, I think I'm more on the side of preferring kind of the anxiety types of, you know, hikes or something, you know, zip lining, something a little more kind of anxiety inducing potentially. So I think part of it's kind of personal. And then the other side of it is I think whenever you see something that's that kind of one-sided of the nature is kind of king and this idea of nature almost versus kind of urban, there's got to be some kind of role potentially for these urban environments beyond just not being as good.
Right. The assumption is that the noisy urban setting, the traffic, the crowds, things like that, that's what we need to get away from. But it turns out, maybe according to research, that some personalities actually find that, I don't know if it's relaxing is the word, but restorative. What kind of people would lean toward more that noisy, stimulus-filled urban environment?
That's a good question. So we looked at maybe groups of people who might be I would say maybe relatively comfortable processing kind of anxiety cues or something potentially that's a little more stressful in nature. And we looked at personality. So there's five, they call it the big five. There's five personality traits. And one of them is called neuroticism. Neuroticism is kind of defined. It's a personality trait associated with anxiety, worry, negative emotions, inability to kind of regulate those emotions. So generally it's not a great one to have. If you're going to have any of the big five, neuroticism isn't always the best, but they do have, I think, slightly more comfortable processing these kind of potentially cues and versus maybe those on the lower end of the kind of neuroticism scale. So we kind of looked at, again, going back to maybe environmental compatibility, that there's a potential maybe place for these higher neurotic types of people who might be maybe more comfortable in these type of environments.
So when you talk about that type of personality, you mentioned Woody Allen. So to play that out, would it be that a mind that is used to turning in on itself, thinking, ruminating, worrying, would like the clamor of the zip lining or the stressful mountain hike to drown out the internal voice?
So not 100% sure. So in terms of what is exactly going on, we found that they when they are exposed to kind of pictures of anxiety-inducing environments or birds, we actually even had some associated with music, they tended to have kind of restore this kind of mental fatigue or this kind of self-control. So I think it's more comfortable like I said, it's more of a match, I think, with their personality, that they're kind of more suited for these type of environments, more used to it, potentially, these type of environments, and they might pay maybe slightly less attention to these type of environments. So it's maybe almost less jarring in some sense.
We're talking to Kevin Newman from the Providence College School of Business about what kind of environment different people need to restore themselves, not necessarily relax, but to recharge their batteries. The assumption a lot of times is it's nature, a peaceful walk in nature. He says for some people, especially with more what are called neurotic personality traits, maybe it's a noisy urban setting, or maybe it is nature, but noisier, more adventurous nature, more stimulating nature. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of environment do you need to recharge the batteries, to get away from it all? Kevin, I wanted to talk a little more. You started to touch on the methods. How did you try to measure the impact of these different environments on these different people?
Sure. So the first thing we had to do is kind of to figure out how it impacted them, is deplete them, kind of make them mentally fatigued, in essence. And then we exposed them to these one study was primes, or words associated with these different environments. So maybe exposing them to words that like green or nature, or urban or cities or buildings. And then and also some of them were exposing them to pictures associated maybe with an animal that's kind of scary, maybe like a growling lion versus maybe a lion that's sleeping, and then measure kind of their self-control. So there's different ways of doing that, but one of them was, for instance, like a budgeting task and how well they might budget planning for a future vacation, whether they would put more money on a credit card, for instance, or whether they would put less or more money on this kind of credit card. So we kind of depleted them and see, can they recover? Can they restore themselves after being exposed to these different environments?
And overall, I mean, what were the findings again? Were you surprised by what you saw there, given what we think we know about humans and nature?
I think it was a little surprising, to be honest, because I think you could go both ways, potentially. You could kind of think that maybe those high in neuroticism who are potentially and better in urban environments, but they also, the interesting part of the study is that they might also be better in maybe stressful or more anxiety-inducing natural environments. So it kind of breaks down this urban nature thing to look at more what's inherent in the environment. So is it these anxiety kind of cues that are in it, or more of these kind of calming cues? And part of me, was surprised, because you might think that the people who are most neurotic are these stressful people, might kind of need that break, right? That they might kind of need, if anyone needs that type of kind of break or calming experience going to a beach, it would be people like that. Whereas we kind of found, I think, in some sense that more of the kind of Woody Allen, that he actually has a saying, he said, "I'm two with nature," which was kind of a joke with the people who say, "I'm one with nature." because of this kind of idea that I think people who are neurotic, I think someone like him might recognize that maybe it is beneficial. So I think it was somewhat surprising.
I wonder how we take this into account in our personal lives, because I don't know if a lot of people walk around knowing whether they're a neurotic personality trait. Some people do, I guess, but how do we figure out, how do we become matchmakers to figure out what kind of environment is going to help us get back to full mental energy?
Sure. So, I mean, if people, I think, love to go on WebMD and self-diagnose themselves. So you can actually go online and take a neuroticism scale, and I think you could potentially, as long as you're honest with yourself. So I think neuroticism tends to have kind of a negative reputation. So I think if you were to answer the questions honestly, which are questions such as, does your mood go up and down? Do you feel miserable for no reason? Do you often feel fed up? Would you call yourself a nervous person? Are you a worrier? So questions like that would potentially indicate higher or lower levels of neuroticism. So I think you could take it yourself. And the other interesting thing is neuroticism tends to geographically segment. So potentially, in terms of even like marketing implications, there's certain parts of kind of the country that tend to have pockets of neuroticism. Which is potentially interesting if you know where you are.
I'm curious about the length of exposure. What if a neurotic person who falls under this designation at first has these particular responses that would seem to indicate that, no, they don't want relaxing at the seaside vacation. They want something else. But continued exposure, maybe they just need more time to unravel than the people who are not as neurotic.
Right. And so it's an interesting question because part of it is wondering the long-term exposure to something that is anxiety-inducing, if that is troublesome in some way. So there is some research for people who are exposed to kind of urban city environments, so urban public housing. And so these types of people might be exposed to something, these types of stressors for long, continuous periods of time. So some of that research which shows that they're kind of are more mentally fatigued. So I think, you know, there's some moderation, I guess, is needed in some sense, that you probably wouldn't want to constantly be exposed to these anxiety kind of environments, but to do it at times, I think, could be potentially beneficial.
We're talking right now with Kevin Newman, assistant professor at Providence College School of Business, about how the restorative benefits of spending time in nature might be different for different people, might be overstated for some people, especially more neurotic personalities.
We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. So do you fit what people assume is the normal mold? Does getting out to nature help you relax, recharge your batteries? What kind of nature? Is it a quiet stroll and a quiet path in the woods, or is it rock climbing, whitewater rafting, something really exciting, adrenalizing, stimulating? And do you find noisy city environments overwhelming, stressful, or do you feel at home there? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation with Kevin Newman about using nature to recharge and rejuvenate ourselves and how it might not be for everyone in the ways that we think it is.
And now here's our question for you. You're overwhelmed with your work life, your daily life. What is the ideal environment? If you could magically teleport anywhere or just step out and find what you need, what is it that you need to bring yourself back home? Is it a quiet walk in the woods? Is it rafting on a raging river? Is it rock climbing? Is it walking down a busy city street? Is it looking at a farmscape in Wisconsin? Where is it? What is your recharging terrain? Where would you go? Call now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post, paint us a picture on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Kevin, earlier you mentioned that there may be pockets of neurotic people who prefer the more active, more city-like sort of scenario for rejuvenating themselves. Where are those pockets of neurotic people? Are we talking city folk here? Is that what we're getting at?
No, it's interesting. It's not necessarily big cities as you might expect. I mean, it is. There are big cities that have this, but the typical one I think you would probably guess is New York. So when we're looking at the places I think with the most highest levels of neuroticism would be where I am, actually, New England and kind of mid-Atlantic region.
Hmm.
So if you're looking at that region, so New York, kind of New Jersey, these type of places, you tend to have these kind of higher levels. If you look at so where you guys are in the Midwest, it's actually pretty low. In general. So it's very different kind of types of environment. So I wouldn't be surprised if your callers or if other people were more leaning towards that kind of nature side of things.
Well, let's find out. We've got Deb on the line starting us off in Appleton. Deb, hi.
Hi. Yeah, hi. I was thinking about this earlier. The weekend I was at Pottawatomie State Park going through that park, and I thought, man, I just feel so refreshed among the trees, so definitely in the woods. Love it.
And Deb, if you are having a rough day at home or work or something like that, you're feeling like just a little too much on my mind, is that what you picture? Is that the happy place you go to mentally?
Yes.
And if able, physically?
Yeah, if I could physically. But yeah, definitely that would be where I'd go.
And I don't know if you've done a self-diagnostic test, Deb, but do you consider yourself neurotic at all?
I don't think so. I think I used to be probably a little more neurotic, but kids are grown and I've chilled a lot.
So there's hope for us.
Yeah, the kids are grown, less neurosis. Thank you so much, Deb, for sharing that with us. So she, Kevin, it sounds like fits a lot of the profiles of the people you talk to in your research.
Correct, yeah. So it doesn't surprise me, like I said, because I would think most callers who are from that region might prefer that kind of lower end of the, or the kind of more nature side if they're on the lower end of the neuroticism scale.
Deb, thanks for that call. We're going to go next to Tony in Fenimore. Hi, Tony.
Hello. I'm not neurotic, but my recharge point is a star-filled night laying in the grass.
That sounds pretty nice. Tony, thanks for that image. And, you know, is there anyone out there who's going to, first of all, Kevin, cop to being neurotic? And second of all, who says, no, I hate nature. I want to be in the traffic. I mean, do people know this about themselves?
And that's the interesting part, I think, where this research maybe would like to maybe pursue in the future is, do people even know this, or would people even select kind of the appropriate environment for themselves? So, you know, even would I admit in the first place? So I think that's a good, important question, because I don't know if people want to admit that they're anxious or they're worried or they're, because it is tied to depression. It's tied to higher divorce rates. It's tied to some unfortunate things linked to neuroticism. So I think in general, you don't want people, maybe people would kind of underrepresent themselves or not represent themselves accurately. But I think it would be important to know that and to get yourself in that appropriate environment. And I'm not sure if they would self-select into that appropriate environment, which is kind of the more interesting question.
Thanks a lot for that call. I wonder if there's sort of a situational thing for people, because a lot of times I definitely get the, I need a quiet place, a little green would be nice. But there are some times where, I don't know, when I need a certain kind of focus, a certain kind of productivity, I want noisy music, a noisy coffee shop or some other environment. It turns into a background white noise and really, really helps me focus. So maybe people aren't all one or the other, Kevin.
Right. And I think it depends on what you're doing. And I think, you know, research does show, I think there's an optimal level of stress, right? So if you have a little bit or a moderate amount of stress, it can help you kind of perform better. But obviously, if you get too extreme, it actually makes your performance worse. So I think maybe it depends on maybe the particular thing you're going for, I guess, in some sense.
Let's take another caller now. Jonah joins us next in Milwaukee. Hi, Jonah.
Hey.
What's your preference?
Well, I just got out of some really bad traffic, and I actually was getting pretty anxious, so I took an exit and just stood around on one of the farms with the grass just blowing in the wind, and that was the perfect white noise, as I said before.
That sounds great too, Jonah. Thanks for that. And Jonah has, you know, said he's not neurotic. He was feeling neurotic when he was in traffic. So how do you process that one, Kevin?
No, I think, again, maybe this goes back to extreme maybe amounts of kind of anxiety or something. I don't know if it'd be really beneficial for anyone. And then you might be getting into, I don't know if he's angry, but, you know, if you're getting angry or you're having some of these maybe very extreme emotions, it might not be good for really anyone.
All right, thanks a lot for the call, Jonah. Doug is with us next in Trevor. Doug, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, my place to go is my backyard. I can't afford to go anywhere else. My backyard calms me down. I'm not sure if I'm neurotic, but like your previous caller, with the driving, relationships at work, things just get stressful, and then just you go up in your backyard. I got a bird bath, you know, plant some bushes and flowers, and you just get outside, like the guy was saying, see the wind blow. And I'm not sure if I'm the neurotic part. I hope not, but that's where I would want to go. Yeah, not the Grand Canyon, my backyard.
Doug, thanks for that. And no judgment for people who are neurotic, not a value judgment there. But thank you so much for sharing that. So, Kevin, I guess we're nailing it here in the Midwest. We are not one of these pockets of neuroticism that would benefit from more stimulation, a noisier background environment.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, too, is I think I'm not sure how many of these callers are in the kind of metro area, but we, you know, since, you know, 1960, you know, urban population's gone up from about 34% to 54%. So increasingly, people are moving into the cities, and people, especially millennials and the kind of younger generation. So, you know, it gets interesting to see how this might be dynamic will play out. We have more and more people kind of putting themselves directly potentially in these kind of might be higher anxiety-inducing kind of urban environments.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today. Really interesting.
Okay, thank you.
That's Kevin Newman. He's an assistant professor focusing on consumer behavior at Providence College's School of Business. He talked to us about why some personalities find crowded urban spots relaxing while others might prefer being surrounded by nature. You can keep sharing your experiences, your happy places, the place you need to go to recharge. Maybe a picture if you're there right now listening. And a radio is involved, I guess, and you're recharging. Send it to us on the Central Time Facebook page. I don't know. I think of myself as a person who likes that nature and likes it to recharge. I don't always get out there, though.
I love to get out there. It totally. I can walk into a, you know, Indian lake where I like to go, just feel the trees, the wind, and whoosh, it all goes away.
A little waterfall action, a little stream, babbling brook. That really does. I should get some of those noise generators that just make those sounds. That's what I need.
We all need
We're getting
that.
One
Serenity
in the office.
Fountain.
Serenity Fountain in the office. It's happening, people.